Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Success Circle call. I'm Lisa Menini, and I want to welcome all new and existing Elite Success Circle members, as well as the individuals who are joining us that are select Success Circle members. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And today is the Q&A call, which happens every fourth Tuesday of the month. And at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is where I take your calls or your questions that you submit and answer those so that you can break through and move forward with confidence and get your answers, your questions answered so that you can move forward with speed. And I'm so delighted to have a number of questions here today that I can answer for you. But first, before we get started, just a couple of reminders to put on your calendar. Some upcoming events that you don't want to miss. April 10th, which I'm doing Seal the Deal 98% of the time, a webinar sponsored by your legal resource. Again, that's April 10th. Additional information and registration is on the events calendar on accelerateassociates.com. Let's see. We've got also April 10th is your high content business accelerator call. And on that day, I'm going to cover all about your signature story and why that's so important, especially for those of you who are going to do more speaking as part of your marketing mix. So, you definitely want to attend this program. If you're thinking about speaking, if you are speaking as you are a speaker, or if you're just using speaking as part of your marketing mix and you want to be able to connect with your audience, one of the most important things in connecting with an audience if you're speaking is to identify your story and why that's important. And we're going to talk about all of those elements that are important in speaking, because if you can't speak to your audience, you're not going to be able to relay your message. They're not going to connect with you. And if they don't connect with you, it's going to be difficult for you to establish a very quick relationship with them so that you can cultivate that relationship so they connect with you and so they want more of what you have to offer, especially the ideal ones. You want them to connect with you. So on the call on April 10th, the Business Accelerator call, we're going to go through why it's so important to have your signature talk ready or your signature story ready so that at any moment's notice you're able to facilitate that story. And it is also what can ground you, especially when the nerves kick in when you're speaking. So I'll be talking more about that. And April 26th and 28th, of course, is the annual Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive. I do want to remind those of you that are already registered to remember to use your Bring a Friend ticket. They ideally would need to register before March 30th. That's March 30th. Why? Because they're going to get an extra special, wonderful bonus from my good friend and copywriter expert, Lisa Mannion. And she's going to share all about a press release and what you need to have in it and how it can get you major publicity when you do it right. And she shows, she talks through all those things that you should have in your press release. So it's a very, very valuable bonus that I'm giving out. So I want to encourage you to remind and your guests to register before March 30th. They'll appreciate that you told them about that event. I guarantee it. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. The next Business Accelerator call also is on April 10th, if I didn't mention that. Again, that happens on every second Tuesday of the month. The Business Accelerator call is where we take one high content area of the Entrepreneurial Edge system and we expand on it. So just want to make sure you have that on your calendar as well. And for those Elite Success Circle members, remember to also schedule your laser coaching call if you haven't already. And the next session is April 10th. Okay, I think we're going to get started with today's questions. Thank you so much for everybody who submitted a question. Remember that if you hear anything that happens in the high content call, the business accelerator call, rather, and you have a question, this is the time to answer. This is the forum in which I answer those. So remember to email your questions to info@accelerateassociates.com prior to the Q&A call, at least 24 to 48 hours prior to the call, so that we can get your question in the queue. Okay, the first question that I have is one that that I will get a lot, especially as we talk about the Entrepreneurial Edge system. Al, thank you so much for submitting this question. And the question is, what's the best way to integrate lead generation? Now, for those of you that are not familiar with a lead generation system, it's a system that you implement that will help you, number one, get noticed. When people put, you know, consumer behavior has changed. So when people put their problem or the solution they're seeking in a search engine, you want them to find you. And when they find you, you want them to go to your lead generation system, which is a one-page, no-link that they go to. And when they do, they have one choice, either put their name and email address into that so that they can get their hands on something that you offer that's for free. And the reason you want to do that is because without any other links, there's no other choices for them, and that's a time where we don't want a lot of choices. We want them to either say, yes, I want information from you, or no, I don't. It's permission-based, so they're the ones that are opting in. And when they do, you give them something of value, whether it's an audio or downloadable ebook. But in that process, and the one thing that makes the Entrepreneurial Edge system so unique is that we collect data through the lead generation system. So you get consistent data from your market on what exactly they want from you so you can develop programs and services. So there's no guesswork. It takes all the guesswork out of that. And then, of course, once they are on your list, you are able to connect with them on an ongoing basis, because only about 4% of the people will actually do business with you the first time they hear about you or meet you. The other 96% of the time, you have to cultivate that relationship. And this is the way to do that. So when you have a lead generation system, it can be a standalone, meaning it could have its own URL, which it usually does because it's based on keywords. And that's number one. So it can stand alone. And then when people put the solution they're seeking that you offer, they'll find your lead generation system. Now, again, this is where it helps to know what your sales flow is. How, you know, once they come into your lead generation, what's the next step? How do you get them? If you want them, you know, what action do you want them to take? You're always asking that question. Then that's the difference between, you know, a bits and pieces approach and a systems approach, which is what I teach. We're always looking at what the next step is, that flow of how you're creating that and cultivating that relationship with your clients. Now, when you do this, that's perfectly acceptable to have a lead generation system that's separate. But let's say you also want to maximize the use of your corporate site, so that lead generation, if it's separate, can eventually lead them, whether that's through an autoresponder, and can all lead them to your website. Now, let's say they find your website first. Well, it's also perfectly fine to integrate your lead generation system into your website. So if you go to my website at accelerateassociates.com, you'll find that I also have my lead generation system on my website. Now, some people do a pop-up on their website where it pops up if somebody tries to leave, hey, wait a minute, or they have a delayed pop-up where it says, you want to, you know, get the SPREE report, put your information in now. Now, there's you've really got to know your audience, and this is why it's important to know your preferred client and have your preferred client profile. Because you also want to look at your metrics, so your lead, how many people are actually opting in. Because what happens is sometimes with those pop-ups, people are irritated by them, or they have their pop-ups shut off, and so they never get that pop-up from your website. And so you can have just a static, you know, lead generation system where they see it, you know, something enticing, it's a question, it's a red, maybe you have an arrow to it or something like that, that draws attention to that particular lead generation system that's on your website. And it's not going to be something, again, that your ideal prospects really want from you, okay? So it's got to be an irresistible offer that they are compelled to put their name and email address in. And then that way you can cultivate that relationship. It's kind of like they're extending their hand by putting their name and email address in, and you're extending yours by giving them a free audio or e-book or and there's a number of things that you can give. If it's a product, maybe you give them a sample. Again, it depends on your business, but those are some ideas. So, Al, to your question, it can be a lead generation that's alone, or it could be a hybrid. And if it's a hybrid, there are different ways that you can address that hybrid, whether it's a pop-up, a static that's right on your website that stays there, or, you know, those are some things that you may want to consider. Now, to your question, what's the best way to integrate a lead generation system? That's one aspect. That's the technical aspect. But let's say you also do writing, article marketing, as part of your lead generation. If you do article marketing, most people put in their website, Excel, you know, so that would mean I put in accelerateassociates.com, right? No. What I want to do is put them in my lead generator. So when they click on the lead generator, there's one option. Either they put their name and email address in, or they don't and they go away. So remember, when you're even in article marketing, how are you using your lead generation system? Are you putting your website with lots of links in it, or are you really truly utilizing your lead generation system? So it could be alone, a lead generation system, in which case you use it for article marketing and other other types of even direct marketing, or you integrate it into your main website. But again, if there's a lot of links and you use that in your article marketing, they may get lost when they look at your website and may not even go into that lead generator. So if you're doing article marketing, I highly recommend that you do it through your lead generation system. And you can have more than one. You can have more than one depending on where people are in a process, perhaps. Like I work with people that are startups, but I also work with individuals that have had a business and need to revamp how they're marketing their business because it's a different marketplace. So I might, depending on the article, send them to a different lead generation system. So you can certainly have more than one. So great question, Al. Thank you for submitting that. And I hope I've answered your question there. All right. The second question that we have is, how do you engage prospects in a meaningful way? So Kathy with a C, thank you so much for submitting that question. And it's a good one because the new type of marketing is all about establishing and cultivating the relationships with your prospects. Remember, 4% of people will do business with you the first time they hear about you or meet you. The other 96% of the time, you have to cultivate that relationship. So how do you cultivate that relationship? How do you really engage your prospects in that meaningful way? Well, I do want you to think about a couple of things. When you meet with somebody, what's the first thing you do? What's the second thing you do? What's the third thing you do? What's the fourth thing you do? If you have touch points, intervals at which you meet with people, What's the first thing you do? What's the second thing you do? What's the third thing you do? Again, look at this as part of a system of events. And when you do, you'll be able to determine even how to set up your autoresponders to touch base with them. And it could be as simple as when they opt in, after you meet with somebody, you can have a simple system that says, it was really nice to meet you the other day. You know, how are you doing? You want to set up a face-to-face or phone meeting. That could be pre-programmed. A few days later, just touching base to see how you're doing. Or, hey, I want to give you this free report. I was thinking about you. That can be pre-programmed too. It depends. Are they a referral source? Are they a prospect? What is the nature of that relationship? Now, if they're a prospect, because Kathy, your question specifically mentioned prospect, number one, you want to find out their interests. Now, with the lead generation system, you can help do that. Or on a yearly basis or even a quarterly basis, you can ask people for their opinion. What do they like best? What are their interests? And entice them with something that they will respond to, meaning, you know, hey, if you respond to this survey, you'll get this, whatever the special offer is, the special treat or whatever you have, or a free ticket to maybe an upcoming event that you have, or a discount off of that ticket. So there are a number of things that you can do to find out their interests in the first place. Once you find out their interests, you want to be consistent in not only your follow-up to them, in conversing with them, but on delivering what their interests are. So if you have certain programs and they're saying, oh, you know, I'd be very interested in this program, well, make sure you follow up with them, right? And then offer whatever it is they're looking for. Consistency. I just want to talk about consistency for a minute, because this is really important to be not only consistent in your messaging, but consistency in the frequency or the intervals in which you communicate with someone. And only you know the fine dance that happens with people. If you're too frequent, they tune you out. If you're not frequent enough, they forget about you. Now, once a week is fine, but again, it depends where in the relationship you are. Is it at the very beginning? At the very beginning, you might want a series of things. Now, I through my lead generator, as I send out the emails, I'll say, you know, hey, did you enjoy my ebook? After they sign up for the ebook, how are you doing? By the way, how are you doing? It's one of my emails that I send out. Again, you can say, just, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? Would you have said that to everybody if you could have? Sure, but when you're getting hundreds of people that are opting in, it's not possible for you to follow up individually with everyone. And when they respond, you can start engaging them one-on-one as well. Not everybody will respond. There's going to be a certain portion of people that are actually going to respond to your emails. So don't feel like you're going to be completely overwhelmed and not do it because of what you think might happen. Again, and if you have that problem, it's a good problem to have, right? It's not a problem at all, actually. so you do want to make sure that that when you're engaging with them, that it could be as simple as, how are you doing? You know, how can we, you know, if you're an organization, how can we better serve you? Just an open-ended question. You know, they're going to appreciate the fact that you asked. So you want to find out their interest, number one, engaging prospects in a meaningful way. You want to find out their interest, number one. Number two, you want to be consistent. Number three, you can engage them through webinars, through different webinars. You know, it could be every week or every other week or every month you have a specific webinar that you can engage them with. You know, that's something that I do every month. I have a webinar, whether it's sponsored by and I partner with other people and they sponsor my event, or I do it for my entire community by adding additional value. And that's one way to add additional value, engage your prospects in a very meaningful way. It's through webinars. Teleseminars is another way to engage people. What's great about teleseminars is that it requires very little effort. People don't need to be by their computer. They only need to have a phone and dial into the phone. Now, you can also have, on the when you're offering teleseminars, a landing page where they go, and they can download a document that they fill in. What's great about this is because, you know, people, I've done a number of webinars, and they're wonderful. They're great visual aids. The problem, though, that you might have with webinars is the volume of people, depending on what your volume is, of people getting on those calls. And number two, the technology. Even though you might not have any problems with a webinar, chances are they may with their computer, in which case you've just lost that person. Now, you can, you know, you just lost that engagement. Again, you can record it, and they might catch it on the replay, or you can have an encore call, in which case you do it again. But just remember that, you know, with teleseminars, what's nice about that is that you can have a downloadable document. They can fill it out as they go along, and that's just another way to engage them, your audience. The other part of teleseminars is that it can also be automated, so that you can do an encore call. You can record it once and then replay it over and over automatically. So, again, this is something that we go through in the Entrepreneurial Edge system, but I wanted to let you know that there are options out there that that will help you engage your audience without, you know, breaking your back or the bank in trying to serve your audience too, or serve your prospects in a meaningful way. So teleseminars are really great for that. Social media. Social media is a great place to engage people. In fact, it's preferred. It's the platform, you know, you just got to know which platform your clients are on. Now, if they're on LinkedIn, the level of engagement might be a little different. You might engage them differently. Certainly, you would engage them very differently than you would on Facebook. Facebook is a completely different platform. LinkedIn is more of a corporate type of site, and the level of engagement is different. Facebook, you know, is a little bit more social. And Twitter still is that social, but it's microblogging. And but you do have to, it's live microblogging. So, again, you've got to have somebody that may be dedicated to that. But I do want to talk about that, too, for just a minute, because there's different ways on Twitter and even on all of these to really engage more so that people come back for more. But, again, you've really got to look at the nature of your operations and where do your folks hang out, how much, what is the amount of effort and time that you're going to give this based on where your clients are. Now, I've seen people spend a whole lot of time on Facebook without real results, and because they were trying to engage people maybe that were not their ideal prospects that they found on other platforms. So that's why it's so important to have your preferred client profile and know exactly where your ideal prospects hang out in large numbers so that you can engage with them. But here are some additional tips to use when engaging your audience. And this is going to be a combination of all the platforms, so I'll be specific when I mention what these are. First of all, you always, no matter what platform it is, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, first of all, when you're meeting with somebody, you want to ask them, what are your links? What are your social media links so that I can link with you? Here are mine. Now you're giving them an opportunity to connect with you. Second, you want to also respond to them. So if they invite you first, you want to always respond to them. You know, and it could be a couple times a week that you're going into your platforms, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter, or all three, and you're accepting their invitations. But you want to make sure that that's done on a regular basis, a consistent basis, and you want to respond back to them. Check, if you're on Twitter, you want to check your at replies, meaning that means somebody used your name at and whatever your Twitter handle is. You want to respond to their questions, and you want to do that in a timely basis. You want to also answer questions if individuals have asked you a question on a frequent basis. You also want to offer your email to your community. So if you're sending out and you're engaging them through a newsletter or some other way, they have a way to personally contact you. You want to also have, you know, maybe people have questions for you. You know, are there frequently asked questions that you're answering on a routine basis? If there are, then you want to maybe have a page that has frequently asked questions. Maybe it's on your blog. That way people can get their questions answered fairly quickly, or maybe it goes to a, you know, frequently asked questions video. That video is on your YouTube platform. You want to link to it regularly. Now, for those of you that might be in like a financial planner or other regulated industry, you may want to have, you know, pre-written responses to common questions that you can put out there. Or pre-approved articles that you can put out there. So just because you work in a regulated industry does not mean you can't use these platforms to engage. Now, one thing you want to be cautious about, and I see people do this all the time, is they're more megaphones rather than telephones. And what I mean by that is they're out there and they think they're giving great value by saying, oh, you know, this article here and this, but they're not putting anything in there that people would connect with them. Now, I mentioned earlier about your signature story and people getting to know you. Well, if you're on Facebook and you're never, you know, sharing some fun things, it doesn't have to be personal. It can be social things. People aren't going to connect with you because they don't connect. They don't feel like you're that personable person. So remember, if you work on behalf of an organization, you may want to rethink. You know, people don't connect with organizations; they connect with people. So who is doing your social media on your behalf if you're part of an organization? If you're the owner, then say you're the owner. And then put your picture out there. Again, that likely is a shift. If you're kind of looking at that saying, I don't get that, that's a shift of the marketplace. And there's been a shift in the marketplace that in, you know, industrial age thinking, which has been prevalent for many, many years, is people marketed the corporation. Well, now it's more about the individual. So how are you marketing? Are you marketing with, you know, with the information age in mind, with connecting with people in mind, or are you doing it in industrial-based thinking? Again, remember, your belief systems will determine your actions every time. So just give that some thought. With regard to Twitter, you want to use an at reply at the beginning of a tweet to someone. You also want to know when to take something offline as well. I know many of you are in customer service related industries, so it's going to be important for you to know when to take it offline and use, especially in things like Twitter, you can take it to a direct message rather than a Twitter where you put the at sign and you're responding to people or replying to people. Maybe more appropriate to use the DM, the direct message feature of Twitter. Again, just know how to navigate some of these platforms. One thing you also want to do is every day is you want to tap into your social media platforms and thank people who either commented or made a comment on your post, or either it's your blog post, it could be Facebook, it could be, I know LinkedIn is getting a little bit more conversational, but if somebody, liked something on Facebook, you always want to thank the people that have done that. It's just part of common courtesy. Thank people who also share things like your ebooks or things like that. In some cases, you may even want to do a search, like on Twitter, because they don't. Somebody who might share your thing, whatever it is, your ebook, your website, may not always put your at sign, your handle on there. So you may not know they did it. They might have just put the name of your book. So you may want to do a couple of searches to make sure that you have followed up with people. And again, remember to write as you would in any regular conversation. We're excited, we're thrilled, or I'm thrilled. Those are really good ways to convey some of the emotion behind what you're writing. So these are, again, if you just joined us, these are some ways Kathy asked about engaging prospects in a more meaningful way. And these are just some ways that you can do that. You can also engage and at least monitor how you're engaging people through the use of a Bitly link. Now, Bitly, B-I-T-L-Y, you can go to bitly.com. Or bit.ly. And what that does is it allows you to shorten a link, but they also record how many people went to that link. So if you put that Bitly link into an e-zine that you have or an e-newsletter, you'll be able to tell how many people actually clicked on that link. What's nice about that is then you can determine from that the level of interest. If you have several links on there, you'll be able to tell the level of interest based on what, for each article that you put in your newsletter or each, call to action, you'll be able to determine how many people clicked on that. So those are just some really great behind-the-scenes things to do to determine what the level of interest is. If there's something, too, that's happening in your industry or your community, you want to be one of the first ones to sort of put it out there. When you break news that's kind of big or relevant to your either constituency or your followers or your community, what's nice is you're going to be looked at as the reigning authority in that area. So it's nice to put those out there to help build your authority and your expertise in your area. Also, you may want to put out there in a way to engage your followers different tips. And, those tips can be sprinkled throughout the entire year, tips that are meaningful, that help people, that get them thinking, in some cases that may be provocative, that, you know, people didn't think about or goes against the grain, completely counter, you know, contradicts what people have been saying for years and why you think that. Those are some ways to also engage your prospects. Okay. And don't forget that if you do put a blog out there, you know, it's okay to also put that blog, you know, somewhere else down the line and put a link to it. Because especially if it's an evergreen blog, something that you can come back to, maybe it's a checklist at the end of the year you can come back to, and always come back to it through your social media and have people link to it, because somebody may be brand new to your list that didn't see it again. And then when it gets further and further down the line on your blog, chances are they're not going to see it. Now, some people say don't cross-promote in your content if you're on Twitter, not to Facebook or LinkedIn. You know, sometimes it's automated, so you do have to watch it. But I have seen people post things to Twitter, and it's automatic feed to Facebook, and it just gets too voluminous, and it's way too much, and you can get people off your list, or you're not friending you anymore because you do that. So be very, very careful if you're doing any cross posts or how you've automated your social media. You want to be very careful about that. But I've seen people put a Twitter that lands on LinkedIn with all the hashtags and things, but I think people even on different social platforms are getting privy to that, so it's becoming less and less an issue. Where it does become an issue is the frequency, because Twitter has more frequency than something in LinkedIn, so do be careful about that. You also want to add in there a little levity, so create some jokes. You know, sometimes you can laugh about yourself or laugh about a situation or something that happened. Levity is always good. When you do tell jokes or something out there, you know, make sure that you're not going to, unless you want to do that and it's part of your brand, tick off other followers. So to be very careful about that. You can use pictures, show people what you're working on, sort of a behind-the-scenes look. Maybe a conference or something that you spoke at. Ask people for their opinion. This is a wonderful way to engage people. You can also use, if you're on Twitter, a hashtag and then Follow Friday. This is a great way to follow other people. Have people, you know, say these are great people to follow. Again, this is kind of sending love to your other referral sources, and this is a great way to give them a little publicity too. Remember, it's about the cycle of reciprocity, which you can give, and people appreciate that you've done that. And many times they will respond in like to what you've done. Let's see. I think that I've pretty much answered that question, Kathy, with how to engage your prospects. Those are some ideas that you can use to engage your prospects. Remember, find out their interests, be consistent, webinars, teleseminars, and all those social media tips that I just gave. So I hope that that gives you some content for some time. Okay, another question came out, only this time Kathy with a K, coming up with the resources necessary to go forward. Okay, how do I come up with the resources necessary to go forward? So, Kathy, you're just starting out. There are a plethora of resources certainly the entrepreneurial edge system to get you started on the right direction and who your ideal clients are and to systematizing and monetizing your business. If you're looking for different types of income, we talk about that too, as well as the MEDC. Your own state's website has a number of resources available for you. You also may want to talk to your banker. There's a number of credit unions that have different types of small business loans. Those are some resources that you can try to get the resources for your business. There are more than any other time, this is a really great time to start a business, and I tell people that because there are just a plethora of small business resources that are out there. So you can start, again, with your state's website. That's usually a good place to start. As well as, through the Success Circle and the Entrepreneurial Edge System, which will get you started helping you to generate income. Okay, Doug sent in a question. The paperwork in a clinic setting interferes with the development of product and marketing in generating more private paying clients. So his question is, that can interfere with when you have a lot of paperwork that can interfere with marketing and in generating more clients. Here's number one where it's important to look at how you're structuring your work and what you're working on. Many business owners, we work in the business and we forget to work on the business. Doing paperwork is sometimes a necessity, especially in the medical field where you absolutely have to, especially if it's a healthcare reimbursement type of issue, and those absolutely need to get done. What I often recommend is that one of two things, if you're not able to market because of it, then get somebody to help you with your marketing or automate it or systematize it. Or delegate that paperwork to someone else who is an expert in that type of paperwork for reimbursement. There's other types of billing analysts out there that can help you, even if it's 1 hour a week. So, or whatever, however long that it takes. But when you have a specialist that can do that, that can help. Maybe it's a matter of somebody transcribing your notes so that it can be reimbursed. Again, those are all different options, but helping shift and shape the way you work oftentimes helps you to market more because it's offset by the fact that you're giving somebody else that routine, repetitive thing to do. They're getting it done much more efficiently sometimes because they're a specialist in it, whereas you can spend more time not only with your clients but in marketing your business. So, Doug, I really strongly recommend that you look at different ways that you can restructure, reshape, and shift the way that you are working. Okay, we've got Julia. Julia wrote in that it's tough to build up a client list when customers have had a negative experience under past management. I work too with a number of nonprofit organizations and have throughout my entire career. And so many times whether it's a for-profit or nonprofit organization, sometimes when you have management in there and the customer service has been affected by that, it can be a detriment in the future because you have a number of customers that are unhappy with the service, and then they go shopping around, or it's left such a bad taste in their mouth that even though they do business with you, they may not like it. So depending on your business, you may want to start communicating that the organization is under new management. Again, being careful not to you know, talk negatively of previous management, but simply say, going forward, we're under new management and we have some exciting ideas. Here's what we're going to be doing. You know, you also want to give some serious PR out there and value. This is where you have an opportunity to not only do things differently, but add a ton of value to your current customer list. And you also may need to acknowledge that, hey, you know what? We fell down. You know, sometimes the best way to recover from something like that is just to be very transparent about it and say, you know, we know we have not always met your expectations, but going forward, here's what we have planned. And then start listing out the different things, or maybe you give them something for free because you want them to experience the dedication that you have. And in partnership, we want to give you this whatever, audio, video, whatever, because we know, you know, so help work with us. It's those kinds of extensions, those kinds of conversations that you want to have. Again, there's always, you know, there's always people behind those corporations, those organizations. And that's who people want to connect with. And if they know you're human, you know, hey, we're human. There's some, you know, we know we've, you know, fallen down in the past, but we're working diligently to do that. You may want to start off with a survey. You might get really great, even though you might get information that confirms what happened in the past, at least they have an opportunity to express it. You start cultivating the relationship. Maybe you even call them, explain that what you are doing, something that's different. Again, just you know, under new management, giving serious PR, giving value, acknowledging at some point that, you know we always haven't been good in delivering the, you know, the level of customer service that you've come to expect. Here's what we're doing because of it. Those are some great, great things. And oftentimes you may want to contact a subject matter expert in PR. To help with your individual situation, somebody who has been able to turn that around in the past. So you do want to make sure that when you do meet with somebody in PR, public relations, that they've had some experience with what you're trying to do, or at least related experience to what you're trying to do. So those are some ideas that you can do. See if I make sure I have answered all of your questions here. One other last question came in about building your market. I'm not sure the exact question, but one of the frustrations that people, when they're first starting out, is they often have difficulty building their own market. One of the keys is to become very clear on who your ideal clients are so that you understand how to, where they hang out in large numbers, what blogs they read, what magazines they read, what are their habits, what tools or toys do they buy. In that way, when you know that about your ideal clients, or rather prospects, you can get in front of them with your messages. That might even mean asking people, doing some preliminary surveys with people, and finding out where those places are. Okay. So I know I've had a number of really, really great questions today. Remember, just as a quick review, integrating your lead generation can either be through your website or standalone. You can have more than one lead generator. Remember to engage your prospects in meaningful ways. There are a number of ways. Just be consistent. Find out their interests. It could be through webinars, teleseminars, social media. Went through a number of social media ways to connect with them on social media today. remember that there are a number of resources out there, especially on the Success Circle site. Many people can find what they need in the Success Circle site, whether it's through the audio library, the document library. We have a ton of information. It's kind of one-stop shopping. So you can go to your state's website, but chances are we also have resources available right in the Success Circle. So I encourage you to check that out, as well as to shape and shift the way you work. And remember to, if you do experience a customer service issue, remember to address it immediately. And don't forget to join us for the Seal the Deal 98% of the time. Again, you can get to that on the events page of AccelerateAssociates.com, as well as remember to put on your calendar. The next Business Accelerator call is April 10th as well at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're going to cover your signature story that sells, and go through why it's important to understand and have a signature story that connects with your audience. And I am so delighted that you're coming to the April 26th to 28th Entrepreneurial Ed System 3-day intensive. Remember to remind your bring a friend, the people that you're bringing with you, to register before March 30th so that they can get a really, really nice extra special bonus in the mail. So again, thank you so much for submitting your questions, and I look forward to seeing you each very, very soon. And until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.